All right. Well, at first, tonight's lesson may not seem like it's connected with this morning's lesson, but it is. It's vitally important. I'll let you see it as we go along in it. The title we put on this morning's message is Righteous Abundance, because there is an abundance that's not righteous. Just talk with the drug dealers, you know, but a righteous abundance. There is such a thing. You know, Paul even said, I have learned how to be abased. I read that, and he says, and I've also learned how to abound. See, and I think at the prayer center, all we've learned is how to be abased. But we're going to learn, because he said we're going to learn how to abound. Okay, but we're going to do it righteously. There is a righteous abundance. So, rather than show the tie-in at the beginning, let's just start this lesson tonight. Go ahead and open to John chapter 4 and put a marker in Luke 11. Now, let me mention this to you. The PDFs have already been prepared that'll accompany this morning's message. And it has the most recent prophecy from October 23rd and those two older ones that I read, and a document that I prepared a long time ago that just calls Scriptures for Financial Increase. And it just takes Scripture right out of the Word and has made them into a present tense confession. And don't forget the part about godly hope. And when you read that prophecy again, notice he mentions hope in there several times. If you'll use that principle of seeing while you're saying, like Abraham did, he saw the stars. My children shall number, like he had something to see while he was saying. I did not even know that all those years ago when God gave me the instruction to confess those scriptures. I just took three and I confessed them 4 hours a day trying to break that stronghold. But I didn't know about godly hope then, so it was just like brute force. Like one place, one of the prophets says, is not his word like a hammer? And that's what it was like. It was like I was using God's word like a sledgehammer to break down this wall of a stronghold. And it took a long time because I didn't know anything about godly hope. But, I mean, you can greatly shorten your manifestation time if you learn to fill your, how did he say it? Fill your mind and fill your being with my word. See it. See it. See yourself writing out those big old checks in this case. See yourself giving that money. See it while you're saying it. See yourself not just confessing it, but it's saying, really, God, what am I supposed to do with all this extra money? Wouldn't that be a great problem? Well, it's going to be yours. It's going to be your problem, see? So, okay. Now, again, at first, this won't seem like it's connected, but it is. John chapter 4, and we're going to look at the woman at the well, because we're going to look at worship for just a minute. And you've heard that Dave teach on this many times. Now, for time's sake, he's got somewhere to go. We're just going to hit some highlights here. Look at verse 20, John 4:20. This is in Samaria, the woman at the well. She says to Jesus, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and that's Gerizim. And you say, the Jews, you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now notice, her thinking was focused on where do we worship? And who is right? The Samaritans or the Jews? Who's correct? Okay. He doesn't start debating with her. Because that's not even the issue. That's not what's about to happen. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He says, you worship what you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. How many of you know Jesus came through the tribe of Judah? Okay. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, returning to Luke 11, while you're there, remind you of Dave's teaching. So Dave, from this passage, he says, God waited out the centuries. I mean, he appreciated the worship of all the Old Testament saints. It's obvious that he did. He inhabited their praises. When Jehoshaphat sent out the praisers, you know, and they praised and worshiped the Lord. I mean, the Lord inhabited that, and they never even had to fight the battle. The Lord fought the battle for them, see. But still, the Father was waiting for a generation to be born who could worship Him with the same nature that He has Himself. I call it family worship. All of the Old Testament saints were really worshiping out of their soul because their spirit was dead to God, really. They were worshiping out of the soul, out of the mind, the intellect, and that portion. But God says, Jesus says, God is a spirit. And this time is coming where it's not going to be a matter of where on this mountain, on that mountain. No, it's how. And this people, God's been waiting out the centuries for the new birth where He could receive worship from His own spiritual children, His own offspring. So Dave will talk about that and teach correctly about when we worship Him, it is in spirit. It is a type of worship that you can offer God that no Old Testament saint could ever offer Him because they did not have the same spirit. They did not have the same nature. I'm going to add one more to that. That dry as that dry as cracker juice worship that you offer Him now is one of the most precious things in the sight of God. Do you know when we're in heaven and worshiping Him, do you know it's going to be easy? No flesh, no problems, no death, no crying, no tears. Well, it's pretty easy to worship. That worship you offer Him now, when all hell is, your flesh and all hell is both teaming up against that new man. You need to, remember what his wife kept saying to Job, you need to just curse God. Well, my flesh still tells me that. I don't know. You know, and you're moving 2 metric tons of flesh. Get out of the way. And all your emotions and all the circumstances and the kind, when you offer Him worship now, in spite of all that, that's a type of worship you'll never have that opportunity again through all eternity. You're not going to have flesh to have to go through then. You're not going to have all these problems to go through then. The type of worship you can offer Him now is more precious than anything you'll ever be able to give Him, even though He'll appreciate it then. I don't know what the new earth and the new heavens, I mean, you know, God's got a plan. But I do know this. I don't care if it does feel like dry as cracker juice. I love that from Dave. You still go ahead and worship Him. And every word feels to you like it's flattened down on the floor. And Dave says you want to take a spatula and throw it back up to God. No, I really do love you. I mean, that is a worship. That is a precious thing in the sight of God because He knows you're pushing through flesh, the world, circumstances, devils, and you're still going to worship Him. Glory to God. That's what He's after, a people that will worship Me in spirit. You are who He says you are, and He is who He says He is, and you're going to worship Him no matter what you feel like, no matter what you see. That's worship in spirit. Now, worship in truth. Whoops, I already had it turned there. Hang on. Luke 11. Now, recently, not too long ago, I taught on this passage because the disciples would watch Jesus go pray, and he'd like pray all night, you know. And then they'd watch Him come minister after those seasons of prayer. And oh, my goodness, the power that would be displayed. I mean, blind eyes would open, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear, legs and arms and things would just grow out. I mean, so wouldn't you ask Him, teach us how to pray? We notice when you pray, wowzer, you know, teach us to pray. And so in Luke 11, that's what He's doing. And I'm trying to glean down into a particular part here. And so He starts off with the Lord's Prayer, the same prayer that He gives in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it is. And then He gives this parable because now in Matthew 6, He focuses on your daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And then he goes through that whole thing about you need to stop worrying. You know, the fowls of the, he feeds the fowls of the air. He provides for the lily of the field. Those are his creations. You're his child. Won't he more take care of you? You know, so he focuses on your bread, your provision there. Here, he's focusing on the bread that we deliver to others. Okay? This is really ministry. This is when you're delivering healing, when you're praying for a lost one, when you're, you know, John says, you know, you can pray life for somebody else. That's another lesson. But this is the bread for others. It's not really so much about you. So let's pick up that part of it here. This is review. It's not really the lesson. We've already taught this, but I got to get your mind in this mindset. So he said, oh, yes, I'm going to say one other thing. They're asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. Let me paraphrase. We want to have results when we pray, like you have when you pray. And it's interesting the way he phrases this, because what he's really doing is going, if you're going to have the same results I have, your whole attitude about your Father is going to have to change, because you're believing some wrong stuff. Okay, now here he goes. Verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now you notice, who is the bread for? Is it for this guy or for his friend? So this is intercessory bread. This is bread for others. This would be like ministry. This would be someone who needs healing, or they need salvation, or they need money. Okay? And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, the teacher in me so wants to teach every sentence. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, he's teaching here. He's about to turn the tables. Most people think God is like that friend because they have prayed and they didn't see an answer. Or they have prayed and they didn't see an answer by the time they thought they should see it. And so in their mind, God is very reluctant. He may not give you the bread at all. And if he does, you may have to wait a long time to get it. There, how many of you have heard those sermons, which I have heard? If, to get answers, you've got to storm the gates of heaven. You've got to, you know. And so the impression you get is like God is like that. Like I've got all the answers. I'm behind the door here. I've got it. I hear you praying out there, but good luck getting that prayer answered. Now, maybe if you storm the gates enough, maybe I'll throw you a crumb over the wall. And a lot of people see God that way. And it's based on what they see. It's based on the circumstances. It's based a lot of times on messages they've heard in pulpits. Okay? But Jesus is contrasting the Father. He's going, if you're going to have results like I have results, you've got to understand your Father is not like that. He's not like that at all. But look how he switches this. Verse 9. And I say unto you, in contrast to that guy who would not give, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Doesn't that sound like answers? He's saying, and it's not a maybe so. Shall is about as strong as it gets. It shall be given you. You shall find. And it shall be opened. For everyone. Oh, he meant to say every perfect one. No. Everyone that asketh receiveth. I'll just flat tell you now, that just goes contrary to lots of doctrine that's being taught in a lot of churches. Well, we prayed for Sister Sally, Sister Linda. We prayed. We know we used all the faith we had. We prayed. She died. Therefore, our wonderful intellectual doctrinal conclusion is, he just doesn't always answer prayer. Jesus says you better not start thinking like that. You better not start letting doctrine, you better not start letting circumstances teach you doctrine. He gave you His Word to teach you doctrine. Amen? Now this Word will change your circumstances. Don't you ever let circumstances change the Word. Okay? Let's look at verse 10 again. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened. And notice how Jesus, even though they won't be born again for another, till after the resurrection, He's already talking to them about sonship. See, in their mind, they're servants of God. In His mind, they shall become the sons of God. And He's already talking to them like sons. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, and he just means compared to God, know, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, you can use this to help people get filled with the Holy Ghost, but that's really not the subject here. That's a branch, but not the root. What is the root? The Holy Spirit is the prayer manifester. He is the molecule changer. Jesus said, I cast out devils by the finger of God. Another place, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Amen? Holy Spirit, God will give you the Holy Spirit to manifest the bread, whatever that bread is. So, you know, I taught that here recently, and we could go on, and really you could keep teaching here. And, you know, I told you that Angie and I have been, ever since Jim Martin's conference, we've been on purpose spending more time in private worship. And it's been having a good effect. But we started off just putting on some worship music, and now, just thank God you're not there to hear me sing. You'd rather hear a donkey at midnight, and trust me, it's bad. But I hope God makes it nice by the time it gets to heaven. I don't know what else to do. But you know, I started off that way, and it's good. And sometimes, you know, sometimes for you, it's dry as cracker juice. Sometimes, once in a while, I'm thankful if an emotion comes, and you know, I can feel it. But whether I feel it or not, bless God, I'm going to do it. See, I'm going to worship God. See, but now here recently, and this wasn't very long ago, I was meditating this passage again in Luke 11 and the importance of it. I said, Lord, I'm going to write myself a psalm. Remember where it says, speaking to yourselves, psalms and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. So I'm going to write myself a psalm from this passage and I'm going to worship you from it. And basically I just went to this and I would start saying things like this. Father, I just thank you. I worship you that you're not like the man behind the door there. I don't care what religion says. I don't care how many seemingly unanswered prayers I've seen in my life. Father, you're not like that man behind the door. Father, I worship you that you're a good father. You are really my father. Father, I just thank you that every time I ask, you give it to me. Father, every time that I seek you, you don't run from me. You don't hide from me. Father, every time I seek you, I worship you that you let me find you. Father, when I come and knock on your door, you don't tell me you're too busy. When I knock on your door, you're quick to open it because you're glad to see me. Father, I just thank you that you give me the Holy Spirit every time I ask. There's no such thing as unanswered prayer with me, Father, because you're like Jesus says you are. Not like religion says you are. You are like this. And I was doing that for a little while. I don't even have it written down. I was just doing it from my heart based on this. And I heard that unmistakable voice of the Holy Spirit when He said, now you are beginning to worship in truth. Jesus is the truth. What He says about the Father is truth. No matter what your circumstances say, no matter what you've seen in the past, He is who Jesus says He is. Jesus came to reveal the Father by demonstration and by word. Let's look at one more. Go to Luke 18. And again, Jesus is teaching really about the character of the Father. It's important that we see the purpose of the parable. Luke 18, look at verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end. This is the reason for the parable. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, it doesn't literally mean fall over unconscious. If you look it up in the Amplified Bible says something like this. And not quit, turn coward and run. The word coward's in there somewhere. Turn coward and run. He's looking for people that will endure. Have y'all ever heard the word endurance? See, where have I heard that word? Oh, it's the first prophecy ever delivered at the prayer center, and it's on the wall out in the foyer. Endurance is the key. Well, Jesus is teaching about endurance, but in the process, he tells us some things about the Father. Now, again, when he starts this one off, he does the same sequence that he did over in the other passage we looked at. He's going to say what religion perceives the Father to be. This is what people think that God is like. Saying, verse 2, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, I looked that up. Because, you know, in English, it sounds like she wants vengeance. But that's really not what that word is saying. It's justice that she's after. She's been wronged somehow, and she wants this judge to make it right. She's not after, like, death penalty here. She wants justice, okay? And what, isn't that what you go to a judge for, okay? But he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Yet, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Now, let's stop. That's how most people see prayer when it comes to God. You got to wear him down. You've got to pray. You got to, again, storm the gates of heaven. And, you know, they all paint a picture like God has your answer and you're arm wrestling God, you know, with his, yeah, I'm going to persevere in prayer and you're going to give me this answer. And God's, no, I'm not going to give it. Yes, you will give it. I'm not giving up. No. And God's going, I'm not giving it to you. I am. You're going to give it to me. And so you give it almost the impression like you're going to out wrestle God. But isn't that the way it's taught? And like God is reluctant to answer our prayers. Now let's see what Jesus says about this. So verse 6, the Lord said, now hear what the unjust judge saith. But shall not God, and shall not God, and again, let's say, bring justice for his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Now here's the part. I tell you, he will bring justice to them. Let's say it this way. He will answer their plea. What's that next word? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now let's just worship him for a moment. Again, say it after me. Father, you're not like the man who was the judge in this parable. You're not waiting for me to wear you out. You're not withholding justice from me. You're like Jesus says you are. When I come, even if I have no rights, like the widow, when I come, you're glad to see me. And you give me justice. You give me my answer. Speedily. That's who you are. You are my speedy God. You answer my prayers speedily. It may seem long to me, But you're answering my prayers speedily. Now, for sake of time, let me give you one type and shadow of that from the Old Testament. You remember Daniel? Daniel had some questions. So he's prayed and he's asking God for an answer. And he went into that fast and he fasted for 21 days. Now, you've got to understand the deafening, the silence for Daniel was deafening. You ever go to a prayer and ask a prayer and then it doesn't seem like nothing's happening and the silence is deafening? What I mean is it just, you can't get anything else no matter what you, can you give me a little bit, God? And from Daniel's point of view, 21 days later, this angel appears. Who, which one was it? Y'all remember? Anyway, an angel appeared and says, he says, I was dispatched the day that you prayed. I call that speedily. I was dispatched the day that you prayed. That's your father. Resistance came from the enemy. He had to fight through hordes of demons and the prince of Persia withstood him. I don't understand all what goes on in the heavenlies, but it's not your father withholding your answer. You understand? And sometimes, depending on what it is you prayed, other people are involved. You have to get other people in position. There's things that have to happen. And we can't see all that that's going on. But what we've been taught wrong about is that God is withholding the answer. And that's not what Jesus taught. So I'm trying to worship God in spirit. And I'm trying to worship God in truth. Let's do it again. Father, you are the judge. If you answered Daniel on the first day, and I'm your son, I'm your child, you answer me on the first day. Because you answer speedily. I don't know what's going on in the realm I can't see. But I know it's not you withholding my answer. I worship you. That you're the God that answers me speedily. I thank you for the answer before I can see it. I know you heard me when I prayed. I believed I received when I prayed. But you are going to find faith on the earth. I'm going to stand fast like Daniel did. And I want to worship you every day for the answer. And I will see that answer on earth. Is that good stuff or what? That's good stuff. Now go back to Luke 11 for just a minute. Can you see this worship Him in truth? What it is now? We worship Him for who Jesus declared Him to be. Not what religion says. Not what tradition says. There's a lot of unbelieving old songs, you know, that you have to get rid of. You know, we're a foot sore and poorly shod as we tread through this life. But in the end, there's God. Oh, give it up. Come on. My good. And they meant well. I shouldn't probably make fun, but man, I'm not going to be singing that stuff. My God answers my prayer speedily. My God answers. Say it with me. My God answers my prayer speedily. Hallelujah. See, we got to get that mindset. That's how Jesus, He says, you want to have results like me? Your whole attitude towards your Father has got to change. See, because this is all by faith. I'm going to say it again. You are the mechanism that when you believe, it converts God's Word into reality in this earth. That's a good sentence. That's a real good sentence. And you're the mechanism. It's up to you whether you believe it or not. But if you believe it, it will produce every single time. Now back to Luke 11. Now here's where we tie in with this morning. And I didn't bring the prophecies or anything with me. Now again, in case anybody didn't see it, hear my disclaimer. Sue and I, we obtain no salary from Dave Roberson Ministries. I thank God that they have taken up offerings a few times for us over these years, but there have not been very many. But I have no ulterior motive. There's nothing for me to profit if money comes in to Dave Roberson Ministries, personally. But in that prophecy, all three of them really, the Lord was specifically saying to believe for abundance for this house, meaning Dave Roberson Ministries, the Family Prayer Center, and he said it real plain, so that the media can be used. How many of you know it takes finances so that all forms of media can be used to spread this message around the world? He specifically wants us to speak against the strongholds of lack, take his word, speak against the strongholds of lack, and declare an abundance so that you can have abundance personally. He does want you to have your needs met, but the real focus, I want to talk real plain, is so you can have extra money to give into Dave Roberson Ministries. Is that clear enough? That's what God's talking about. Now, this, we started off in Luke 11. Does he not say in there, if you ask? If you ask. Look at it yourself. Verse 10, Luke 11:10. This is the Father. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, finds. And he that knocks, it shall be opened. I'm just, based on this, if you individually ask the Lord, now, and isn't the subject bread for somebody else? In this case, money for Dave Roberson Ministries. Doesn't it say if we ask, he will give? Now, I'm not going to do a corporate one, because everybody in this room and everybody in the sound of my voice are walking at all different levels of faith. For somebody, I might say, let's believe in an extra $10, and that would stretch them to the max. $10? I live for a week on $10. Well, hey, everybody is walking somewhere. And if I said, well, that's like the example I gave this morning. Some of the ladies remember her, sweetheart of a girl. And I just loved her so much, still do. But that was $100, and that stretched her. Extra $100? Okay. But she was able to believe in not only $100, but then another $100. I love that story. But some people, that's stretching it, $100. But there's people, maybe you could ask the Lord for $1,000. And where you're walking right now, that wouldn't be a big stretch for you. There's people that could ask for $10,000. Yes, sir, I'll go ahead and say that. There's some of you right now sitting on $10,000 barns that you've been sitting on a long time. And I'm not commanding you, but you better talk to the Lord about that. Better see what he wants to do with that. I'm pretty sure he doesn't want you building bigger barns for you. Yeah. You can have bigger barns or fine, but you better be rich toward God. Okay. But see why I don't want to put a dollar figure?
Right.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I know some businessmen. It wouldn't scare them at all to ask for $100,000. And I'll tell you what, it'll probably come quicker than your 10. Because they've been walking there a long time. And they know God. There's a real famous one right now, a billionaire that you all know. I'm not going to use his name on this. But he talks about in the beginning of his business life, he got a small loan from his father. Y'all remember how much that was? It was $1 million. And he's shocked when we're shocked. Because he is so used to living in that rarefied atmosphere of millions and billions that he's not kidding when he says a small loan. He's used to getting $100 million loans. $1 million loan, that's a small loan. See, doesn't that stretch us? What if it doesn't someday?
Amen.
But not a loan. I'm just trying to talk about the mindset. I don't think it's too far. I believe there will be people. Now, this could just be me. I believe there's people out there, maybe even listening right now, that say, I'll go ahead and ask the Lord for $1 million. And it won't really stretch them too far. Now, some really would. But they're used to walking and living and dealing with those numbers. And to them, to ask for an extra $1 million would be like that first person asking for an extra 10. I'm going to ask you to do this. You have Luke 11 there. We read the prophecies this morning. You're going to have them available at the websites within 2 days or so. I'm going to do it this way. I'm not going to lead you in a petition because of the dollar amount. I'm asking you, make sure it fits your conscience, Luke 11. I'm asking you, go to the Father, come up with a number, something beyond what you need. We're not asking it. Do not. That sounded harsh, didn't it? Please do not get a loan. And please do not give money from your credit card. It is accepted according to what a person has, not according to what you have not. I'm telling you, it is not the mind of the Lord that you go into debt to give to Dave Roberson Ministries. And there's no need for it anyway. He plainly says, if you ask, the Father will give the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will cause that to come. Now, what you have to do is be completely open-minded about how it comes. I always remember this. One of the deans at Rhema, most people have heard of Rhema Bible College. I know one dean that was there for years. He said, oh, it was an amazing thing. I was the dean there, and we'd have all these new students come. And, of course, they have to believe for their tuition money. They have to believe for rent money and all kinds of things, you know. And he says, they'd come in for counseling. Well, what's your problem? I don't have enough money for my tuition. Well, have you prayed about it? Yes. And I keep asking God for money, and all I keep getting are job offers. Mm-hmm. Well, now that's not the only way that it can come, but it is one way that it can come. And if you ask the Lord for an extra $500 or $100 or whatever it is, it could come in so many ways. Don't be closing the box on God like it has to come a certain way. I mean, I've heard of all kinds of things. Long-standing insurance settlements and just, you know, found a tin can in the backyard, had $20 in it. I don't know. But sometimes it's, hey, you want to help me paint my house? I'll give you $300. Oh, that couldn't be God. There's work involved in that. Could be too. What if out of that 300, one of your little, God follows that 300 that you gave, you put it in Dave Roberson Ministries, and God follows that as one of those books went to some country, one of Dave's books wound up in the hands of somebody, and they wound up getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And it came from part of your 300. You'll be a happy camper. You'll be a real happy camper for all eternity about that. How many would be willing to ask the Lord for something? Okay? Something to give. Something to give into Dave Roberson Ministry. I'm going to do it myself. I already know how much I'm going to ask for. And, stretching me some. But I've been at this a while, see? Been at this a while. I mean, I've had him, anyway, send computers and printers and God knows what all. Sent me an Angie. Thank God for my Angie. Hallelujah. See, she takes away all my excuses. Because I have an Angie, though, now I got to go pray. You know, I have no excuse not to pray and be in the Word, you know. So, hallelujah. And worship. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's really the lesson. And you see how it incorporates with this morning's? Okay? Speak against the strongholds of lack. Declare, take my word, declare an abundance. By the way, when you see that document, Scriptures for Financial Increase, there's a whole page of Scriptures there. It's not his intention. I mean, you can quote him if you want to. I'm telling you right now, you need two or three witnesses. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You need two or three of those in you. In the early days when he was trying to get us, I'll just tell you right now, yes, sir. You like types and shadows? Now, this is going to stretch you a little bit. It's talking about obedience. Remember all the way back in Egypt, and the death angel was going to come through that night? And God gave instructions to the Israelites. You better kill that lamb. You better paint the doorpost and the lintel of your house with that blood. And when that death angel comes through and sees the blood, it will pass over your house. Did you ever meditate this? What if somebody said, I don't need that blood. I'm born of Abraham. That angel will not hurt me. That person would have died. This does not work because you're a Christian. This works because you obey His instructions. Amen? Now He's saying, speak against the strongholds of lack, declare in abundance. But now what's the end result? He wants finances coming here. It's okay for you to have it too, but He wants finances coming into this house so that we can get the media. Do y'all understand that camera that we're using right there is a dinosaur? I thank God for that camera, thank God, but it is an absolute dinosaur. These young people walk in and they laugh, you know. They look at that and say, well, I didn't know people still use that. You know, and it's great. We thank God for it. But where we're going, we need everything. Do y'all really want to know why we had so much trouble that day with the sound? Remember, it'd go off and I'd have to wait and watch Derek hit the button. The soundboard was just smooth, wore out. Just wore out, had to get another one. That takes money. How much? About $1,600. And that's nothing for God. That sounds like a lot of money to you. Okay, that's where you are. But that's nothing. We need millions to do what God has put in the heart of Tim. And I just know a little bit. But to do, I'm telling you, the plan is already in him. He knows what it is we're supposed to do. You can't do it without the money. Okay? All right. I think I've made the point. So just try and remember this. I keep feeling like I need to lead you in a confession, but I don't know how to do it. Okay. I will do it like this. Say, Lord, help me remember. I need to make a petition to you for some money, some extra money beyond my needs. To put into Dave Roberson Ministries. Lord, remind me tonight. Remind me tomorrow. Until I do it. To make a petition. For a certain amount of money. To put into Dave Roberson Ministries. And once I put that in. I'm going to petition you again. And again. And again. Because your instructions will be followed. And this message will go out by every form of media. And I say it again, Lord. You have found a steward you can trust. You have found a whole slew of them here. And I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I think you know what to do, right? All right. Now, Father, I'm going to pray that you get on their case if they don't do it. That's not condemnation, it's conviction. He'll remind you again and again and again. Hallelujah. Now, listen, after you make your petition, okay, be sure you worship God the way we talked about tonight. That's one of the ways that you keep it alive in you. Okay, thank him every day for it. And call out that number, whatever number you petition. But to say, Father, I worship you. You're not like the man behind the door that won't give. You know, just like we did it a while ago, worship him in truth and spirit. Okay, it'll help keep that presence. He inhabits the present. He inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Worship him in truth. I don't know why I keep seeing this, but I've learned over time not to ignore it. Here's another answered prayer. Not like we want. Remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into the fiery furnace? And they stoked that thing up 7 times hotter than it normally was. It was so hot that the guys that threw them in died. That's pretty hot. And somehow they're able to look in that furnace. And somebody says, I thought we put 3 men in there. See, I see a 4th man. He looks like the Son of God. Now, see, that's an answered prayer. You know what they said? Now, in that case, you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? Because Nebuchadnezzar said, you either bow down to this idol, or we're going to throw you in the fire. And who knows if your God will deliver you or not. You know what they said? Whether he delivers us or whether he does not, we will not bow down to your idol. We are not going to bow down to mammon, people. You hear me? We will not bow down. But now listen, here's the answered prayer. How many would not like to never go in the fire? I'll raise my hand. You know? Can you say, Alan's in the fire. There's a fourth man with him. And that's an answer to prayer. Now the day will come, he's coming out the other end. Without even the smell of smoke. Okay, we don't know how long that is. You with me? We don't like that part. But God's not waiting for the answer. He's with you in the fire. He answered from the first moment that you asked. Right in the middle of your fire. You got a fourth man with you. Now it'll change, don't you worry. You'll come out the other end. Alan's coming out the other end without even the smell of smoke on him. But there's all kinds of fires. Could be financial, could be marriage, could be your children, could be grandchildren, could be put a name on it. Doesn't matter. He's with you in your fire. He was with them in that boat. That's good preaching, Brother Gary. I know it. I'm going to keep it up. He was already answered that prayer. He was with them in the fire. Glory to God. That's good stuff. That's really good stuff right there. I kept seeing them in the fire. And I said, oh, it's answered prayer. He was with them in the fire. Hallelujah.